Monster Man, Episode 515. Elemental, comma, Athasian, parentheses, greater, close parentheses. Hello, and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm taking a look at the monsters that I find in them, their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are continuing our journey through the monsters of Athas, the post-apocalyptic fantasy world that is home to the Dark Sun setting for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition. And today, specifically, we're going to be talking about four Athasian monsters, that is to say, the elementals. The first set of elementals. Before we do that, let's take a look at elementals in Athas as a whole, because elementals play a very important role in the Athasian setting. So in Dark Sun, remember that the designers were trying to create a mood of danger, desperation, hardship, the need for self-reliance, the need maybe to make pragmatic moral compromises in order to ensure survival. And from what I've read, they decided pretty early on that in order to do this, they needed to get rid of one aspect of the sort of traditional D&D setting that would make player characters feel safe, which was the gods. So Athas doesn't have gods, or at least if it does, it doesn't have gods that player characters are in touch with on the whole. No gods means no sense that the cosmos is on the PC's side. On the other hand, they didn't want to completely eliminate the adventuring role of the cleric character class. They didn't want to completely get rid of healing or protective spells. They didn't want to mess with, like, when you're creating a setting like this one that exists within an established system, it's a very tricky balancing act, because you don't want to make just the same game with a different coat of paint on it, but at the same time, you don't want to make something that's so different that it's just not AD&D at all anymore. So they wanted to keep clerics in some sense, but how do you do that without gods? Well, they created an Athasian, essentially religion, where the clerics are devoted to the elements. The elements are neutral. They don't have agendas. They're just the powerful natural or supernatural forces that shape the Athasian world. And then, of course, this ties into the theme of the setting, where a lot of the conflict is between those who want to exploit nature and those who want to preserve it, which doesn't mean that all elemental priests, for such they are called, are on the side of nature. There are some who are in the service of the Sorcerer Kings as their Templars, because, they're still mortals, like they still like power and wealth and influence. But this focus on the elemental forces means that we need some more elemental monsters for Athas, because as we've seen in past seasons, there are surprisingly few pure elementals. That's not quite right. But like the core elemental is quite a narrow range of monster. This is something that crops up in 5th edition quite a lot. Like, if you just go by what's in the monster manual, what's in a book that you can buy, there are actually rather fewer elementals than you really need, because there are player characters who'll be able to conjure elementals, and they'll frequently want a large number of smaller elementals, which is actually not something that the game really has. I mean, it's not a hard problem to solve, but it is interesting to see that a recognition of the lack of variety among elementals existed even here. So, in this section we get 2 pages of general elemental rules, including adapting the existing elementals from the Monsters Manual to Athas, particularly in terms of like how people interact with them, summoning them and commanding them and so on. And then we get 4 new greater elementals and 4 new lesser elementals. Today we're going to talk about the greater elementals, or more accurately, the elementals, comma, greater. So elementals, comma, greater air can become invisible by blending in with, the air, but they can also manifest as destructive whirlwinds. There's a fun little special rule that their attacks are more effective in the desert, as they whip up these sandstorms that not only do extra damage, but also reduce visibility. I like this because it's another example of Dark Sun thinking about landscape in small but beneficial ways. This isn't quite that, because as we're going to see, we are establishing a pattern that's going to exist across all of the greater elementals. So the elementals greater earth can, you know, tunnel through rock. They're also siege-type monsters who do extra damage to things that are made of earth or stone, such as, for instance, the walls of a city. They also have a special attack that can cause earthquakes. And this makes them very dangerous kind of siege attackers, and remember that the strongholds of the Sorcerer Kings are these big walled cities. I think the Earth Elemental is my favorite illustration of the bunch, although the Fire Elemental is nice too because it's an action shot, but the Earth Elemental just has this kind of dopey expression. The book is at great pains to point out that elementals are stupid, I presume so that they don't slot into the role of gods. Elementals empower the priestly character class, but otherwise they're neutral. They're a bit sort of technological. You can control them if you know what you're doing, but they don't have goals that they necessarily want your help with. It was as I read the Elemental comic Greater Fire that I realized that all of the Elementals have some kind of concealment ability. It's just that the air one is maybe the most useful because, you know, there's a lot of air out there. But I do feel a bit silly mentioning it now. Fire Elementals have a nasty attack where they engulf you, completely surrounding you in flame, and this is the subject of the illustration that I mentioned. It just does damage like any attack, and if your companions can do enough damage to the Fire Elemental in one round, it will be distracted and let you go. But it's just kind of horrifying. Like, the idea of being completely engulfed in fire is very frightening. Finally, we have the Elemental comma Greater Water. And the entry does point out that these are the rarest of the greater elementals because Athos doesn't really have that many bodies of water large enough for the elemental comma greater water to really come into play very often. It can grapple a target and drag that target into itself to drown it. And it also has extra effectiveness against boats. So essentially here, the pattern of all of these greater elementals is that they have a way to conceal themselves, they have a target that they do more or less damage against, and then they have some kind of gimmick attack, the engulf attack for the fire and water elementals, and then the earthquake for the greater earth elemental, and then the sandstorm for the greater air elemental. This is a pretty good application of the souped up version of a smaller monster, particularly when, like with elementals, that smaller monster is already conceptually pretty well understood. Like, an elemental is a very simple concept. You don't have to explain the premise to the player characters, right? It's a big rock creature. Well, what can it do? Everything that it can do kind of follows naturally from the idea that it's a rock creature. It can travel through stone as if it were air. Sure, okay, that makes sense. It can cause earthquakes. Sure, okay, that makes sense. This means that these are very kind of economical monsters, and they tie into one of the main themes of Dark Sun, which is the power but also the danger of nature. So a pretty successful set of elementals here. These are an example of a monster that it's kind of hard to get too excited about, but that is actually just pretty well done. I've called these bread and butter monsters before. Not every monster is birthday cake. Some of them are bread and butter. And that's fine. You need bread and butter, you know. They have enough little twists to make them a little more interesting than just a fire elemental, but bigger. But conceptually, that's where they are. So they're conceptually easy to understand, and mechanically, they have just enough variety to keep them interesting without being too complicated. You just have to look at some of the other implementations of greater or lesser elementals that I mentioned to see that there are other ones which are not as well executed, that are just kind of the same thing but bigger. You know, what is it? Well, it's the same creature, but it's large and it has more hit points, does more damage. Anyway, in addition to those four greater elementals, we also get some lesser elementals, and these are much briefer entries. They only take up 2 pages, and we're going to talk about those next week. This Friday, we've got a listener-requested special episode, and when we come back, we'll cover the elementals, comma, lesser, and, time permitting, the Erdland. So I hope that you will join me then, right here on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you've got a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, why not get in touch? I'm on Twitter as @GonzoHistory, on Mastodon as GonzoHistory@Dice.camp, or you can find me on Instagram @MonsterManGonzo, or drop me an email, GonzoHistory@gmail.com. Our theme music is an extract from Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, and is used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Our cover art is by Ray Otis. Thanks for listening, and please join me next time for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great.